This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Iron Jock, our most comfortable sponsor yet. Why is that? Iron Jock is advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a proprietary process called silver ion technology. This technology kills 99.9% of the bacteria and fungus caused when you sweat, and it does that for the lifetime of the gear. No other brand offers this world-class antimicrobial protection, comfort, and performance. Join Iron Jock Nation and get yours at ironjock.com. That's ironjoc.com. Alongside Gary D'Amato, I am Rob Hernandez. Actually, not alongside Gary D'Amato. He's in the Caledonia studios of Wisconsin.Golf, and I'm somewhere in Grand Junction, Colorado, my friend. And I tell you what, the temperatures outside here in Grand Junction, 93 degrees. I could use in my Iron Jock shirt. But didn't I say that to you about five times on the trip back to Wisconsin? I mean, between the first day of the state of the AmFam Championship, virtually every tournament at the end of June, and then I played a par three course at Pleasant View in Middleton and sweated through a shirt there. Why don't I ever remember to pull my Iron Jock out of the bag and give it a test?
Well, Rob, what we have to do, I think, is get Iron Jock to partner with us on some Wisconsin.Golf, maybe on the other breast pocket and Iron Jock on one pocket. Yeah, it's really good stuff, Rob. I've gotten a few shirts from Iron Jock. I wear it. I've got a workout t-shirt that I wear, and it's good stuff. And it's great to have them on board as a sponsor. And I just got an email, Rob, that Iron Jock is sponsoring the first annual golf outing at the practice station in New Berlin on July 23rd. And it looks like a really cool outing, Rob. It's not a traditional like scramble, four-man scramble. They have a pro long drive guy there, Josh Cook. They have Kinetic Sports there to do body analysis, and they have a hole-in-one contest and all kinds of really cool stuff that make it a very unusual outing sponsored by Iron Jock. And so it's great to have them sponsoring our show. Welcome aboard.
It sure is. And, you know, about a year ago, they unveiled unveiled their product to the Milwaukee area. It's now available, you know, it appears around the state or online. And we weren't sure, you know, from the golf angle, if it was going to, you know, tie into what we're doing. But now with the summer that we've had, I mean, I'm looking forward to getting back out to the west here, Gary, where we have the heat, but not the humidity. The humidity in Wisconsin kills, but Iron Jock takes care of that.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. You're naturally going to sweat no matter what you wear, but with the Iron Jock apparel, it doesn't get that body odor. Let's be kind and gentle and call it body odor. And you know, it stands up to multiple washings. You know, you can wash it dozens of times, and the proprietary, that silver ion infused stuff, doesn't leave the material. So it's really good stuff to wear in that hot, humid, sticky weather.
Well, we welcome Iron Jock aboard as our sponsor here of Talking.Golf, and they'll be sponsoring us here through the rest of the summer. And we look forward to talking a lot about Iron Jock and their great products, especially this time of year. It's hot and only getting hotter, and that brings us to What's Up. What's Up, powered by our Twitter results handle, at Wis.GolfLive. So if you follow us there, you know everything there is to know about golf tournament activity in June, because that's where every golf result was posted that went to Wisconsin.Golf. It flows right into that Twitter handle, at Wis.GolfLive. And Gary, I thought we'd start by kind of looking back at my month back at in Wisconsin, the month of June. I always choose the month of June for a number of reasons, because A, the state high school tournament's right in the middle of it, but I went and made a list. WSGA Women's State Match Play, Sarah Busey wins. AmFam Championship, Jerry Kelly wins. WIA State Boys Golf, Jacob Beckman, Ethan Beef Arndt of Edgewood, Noah Kirch of Lancaster, they win individual. Kettle Moraine, Edgewood Kohler, they win the team. Mia Seaman at the Women's State Open. WSGA State Men's Match Play, Garrett Jones in a playoff. WPGA Junior Championship, Bryson Mercier and Elise Hoven. Ray Fisher State Am, Dustin Swab in a playoff. And Bridgestone Senior Players, Steve Stricker, Balance and Believe Invitational, Kaylor Steger by a couple over Peter Webb. And then finally, U.S. Boys Junior qualifying this week, Jacob Beckman and Ty Kretz get through to the national tournament. That's a lot of big-time golf in a short period of time, Gary D'Amato.
Oh, my God, Rob. I just, going through that rundown, my head was spinning, and it's been spinning for a month. You know, you came back for the month of June, and you're on your way home now, but I dare say that Mr. Hughes, our publisher and boss, got a lot out of you on this trip, Rob. You were everywhere. You set a world record, I think, for slugs and for the for the layman, that's number of stories that you wrote, and for words, you were incredible the last few weeks.
Well, and you definitely picked it up there at the Ray Fisher because I was gassed. I was hoping to get down there, but of course we had, as fate would have it, the Ray Fisher going head to head with Steve Stricker at the Bridgestone Senior Players. So I kind of wanted to be in tune with both. And boy, Steve Stricker, Jerry Kelly set themselves apart at the Bridgestone Senior Players after what Jerry did at the AmFam. I guess let's start there. I thought, you know, what a great month for the PGA Tour champions in Wisconsin, out of Wisconsin with those two guys. They were in the mix at both tournaments.
What a month for those two guys. Yeah. I mean, they both win. When you think about it, Rob, they're two of the top five guys on the Champions Tour and have been for a couple of years and probably will be for a couple more years. It's just incredible the level that they've continued to play at. And now I see, Rob, that Skip Kendall had a good opening round today on the Champions Tour, shot 68 and is two strokes back. I remember Skip was telling us at the AmFam that he was really close to playing some really good golf, and it seems like it's coming out of him now. So, you know, to have two guys and maybe three playing really fantastic golf on the Champions Tour speaks a lot for those guys coming up together and what they've been able to do over the years and maintain their games.
And since Gary brought it up, we're going to embed the AmFam report here in What's Up, because Skip Kendall's worth talking about. We're now into July 2nd, day one of the Dick's Sporting Goods Open out in Endicott, New York. The AmFam report, of course, powered by the American Family Insurance Championship. It'll be back in 2022. And if it's any bit as good as 2021, it'll be sensational. But Skip Kendall got into the AmFam Championship on a sponsor's exemption. And this week, the Dick's Sporting Goods Open. A number of guys playing in New York this week, Gary, that don't normally play because some guys are using this opportunity, Steve and Jerry being two of them, to take the weekend off, July 4th weekend. I'm impressed. I mean, and it's not a shabby field. Bernhard Langer's up there near the top of that leaderboard in New York. And you're right. I don't think Skip was blowing smoke one bit. He looked fit. He looked as energized by the game of golf as I've ever seen him. But part of that, Gary, I thought was because he's got his hands in different elements of the game, teaching, working with other people, learning from other people. And it's almost like he's discovered the fountain of youth for at least, a short time here. He's got Dick's Sporting Goods Open this week and then the U.S. Senior Open next week to try to make some money and maybe get into a reshuffle type situation, or do like Alex Chayka and Dickie Pride, win a tournament again.
Yeah, there's no question. You know, Rob, he was burned out a couple of years ago. He talked about it freely that he had played in more than 700 PGA Tour sanctioned events. He hadn't played well for about a year or two, and he was, didn't really have much status on the Champions Tour and was sort of chasing, exemptions, and he just got tired of it and went into coaching, as we've talked about on this podcast and written about. And was re-energized by working with really good young players and sort of emphasizing all the points in the golf swing and how to play golf and how to score that he had sort of not forgotten, obviously, but it just sort of refreshed him and gave him a new outlook on what he was doing in his own game. And lo and behold, he played pretty good in the AmFam and he's off to a good start in the Dicks, but it looks like this is the kind of thing that he might be able to sustain, and we can only hope so, because having Skip on leaderboards again would really be fun.
Well, and as we jump back into What's Up segment here, looking back at the month of June, two things that you wrote about, Gary, that kind of tie this conversation together. The victory by Garrett Jones at the WSGA Men's State Match Play in the playoff over Matt Tolan, and then Dustin Schwab down at the Ray Fisher. Now, that was also in a playoff, and if I'm not mistaken, and yep. Those guys are not young anymore.
No, you know, Garrett Jones is 36 and Dustin Schwab is 34. So they're true mid-ams, in the middle of the mid, what you consider a mid-am, you know, 25 to 50 basically, and still playing tremendous golf. And, you know, Dustin Schwab's playoff victory on the first hole of sudden death was over Cameron Huss, a really fine young player, rising sophomore at Wisconsin. You know, Cameron's going to have his share of days in the sun and win a lot of tournaments going forward. But this was Dustin's turn to shine. And it's great to see those, let's say, older guys who are able to compete still at a really high level against younger players who practice more and play more than they do.
And I thought the greatest picture that we've had of the month of June was the one that you took after the Fisher with Dustin hoisting a beer with a couple other mid-ams. And that's what mid-ams do. In fact, Gary, you can see that I might be starting my July 4th weekend here on our Zoom call that fortunately our listeners can't see. But I need to keep the whistle wet as we talk golf here.
Yeah. That picture was funny, Rob, because you know, I didn't have my camera ready and I was just talking to Dustin and all of a sudden Joe Weber showed up with a couple of beers and they started drinking, you know, hoisting these beers. I said, wait a second, guys, I got to get my camera out. So that was reenacted actually. So, but I'm glad that, that they were good sports and stayed with me there.
I thought it was a fun month. And one of the things that also happened this week was, Maggie Leaf won another WSGA senior amateur women's title. And in texting with her, I was really impressed. And we talked about growing our golf community here on Wisconsin.golf, but never did I ever expect to see someone with the experience of a Maggie Leaf talking about some of the things she picked up playing against Rachel Coughlin at the WSGA match play at the start of the month. And with McKenna Nelson in a practice round, I believe it was over at Merrill Hills in the middle of the month. And, you know, the two combined ages of Rachel Coughlin, age 18, and McKenna Nelson, age 12, is 30, half the age of Maggie Leaf. And she used their tempo. She used the way they approach the game at those young ages to employ that in her game. And she shot 71 in the first round of the WSGA Senior Amateur at Oconomowoc. Not exactly a pitch and putt course, Gary, as you well know. And she was able to win by four shots when the second round was canceled over her good friend and longtime dominant power in the women's game, Sid Wells. Pretty impressive that McKenna and Rachel Coughlin would have that influence at such a young age.
Yeah, I read your story, Rob, and Maggie talked about how just you know, getting the clutter out of your head kind of and stepping up to the ball and swinging freely and hitting shots. And that's what those young players do. And there's a lesson to be learned in that. And Maggie's so good. I mean, she's so complimentary of the younger players. She loves playing with the younger players. So does Katie Falk, who's 74 years old. I'm working on a story on her right now, Rob, a Wisconsin Legends piece. And some of these players that are not very young anymore love playing with the younger players, not only to inspire them and motivate them and act as mentors to them, but they can learn things themselves still. And Maggie was great talking about that in your story.
And I'd like to see perhaps that there's others. I played with Peggy Kelly Gearhart at Maple Bluff in a 9-hole round last Sunday. And, you know, she was a great player at Pepperdine won a number of Madison City titles, was very dominant at the state level as she came through college. But a lot of those women kind of, you know, start families, have careers, that sort of thing. I'd like to see a format where we could still, you know, kind of like the Balance and Believe Invitational the other day, where Derek Schnarr pairs a junior golfer with either a mini tour pro, a club pro, a noted amateur, someone that they can glean information from about how do you do it? How do you, you know, what do you do in this situation? I'd love to see that happen. It looks like it's happening kind of indirectly, but I think we can continue to do that. So we'll see if we can, the schedule's already packed as we've established here at Talking.Golf. So I'm not sure we'd have room for that, but the thought would be nice. Two last things, Gary, before we wrap up, what's up? Another victory in the senior best ball for Paul Zarek. This time it comes with Bob Gregorski. Of course, Paul, four times champion with the late, great Mark Bumowski. And when I saw that Bob and Paul were partnered, and again, another one where they shot a good enough round with a great first nine at the Legend at Bergamont on Monday, and then the bad weather we got on Tuesday wiped out the final round. That's a dominant team. Paul Zarek just has that great demeanor about him, especially when you're his partner. And kudos to him for winning the fifth state senior best ball.
Yeah, you know, Paul has gotten better and better and better over the years. He was a good player, you know, 15 years ago, and he's becoming, you know, an excellent player as a senior. And he credits, you know, Mark playing a lot of rounds with Mark Bromowski. They played tons of rounds together at Johnson Park in that Saturday morning game that attracted some of the best talent in southeastern Wisconsin. And Paul has told me a couple times he wanted to play with Mark to learn from him. And even though he lost a little bit of money to Mark over the years, he learned a lot about how to score and how to play golf. And it's translated into his own game. And, of course, what can you say about Bob Gregorski, one of the best amateurs the state has produced in the last, you know, 30 years. So yeah, that pairing is very formidable.
And back here on the pool deck at the hotel in Grand Junction, one last thing to talk about was, so I really kind of pushed the envelope on Monday, Gary. We were driving out of town at about noon, 1 o'clock, and I went to the first round of the Balance and Believe, and I was glad I did. Peter Webb and Kaylor Steger, a couple guys that drove through the night from the Dakotas Tour to play in this event, both shoot 63 in the morning. Kaylor gets Peter by 2 shots in the afternoon to win the overall title. And then they go back to the Dakotas Tour on Wednesday. And in a tournament that just wrapped up today, Peter finishes T8, 67, 69, 67. Kaylor Steger, 68, 68, 68. And so Peter Webb, T8. Kaylor Steger, T10, with Zach Burry, who's playing out of Appleton, his dad, a club pro there. And, boy, you know, Peter Webb, Kaylor Steger, add their names to the list of guys that I hope we see go a long way in Q school this fall. I bet you there's no fewer than a half dozen to a dozen Wisconsin guys who are planning to try Q school on the Corn Ferry Tour this fall that I talked to over the course of the last 2 or 3 weeks. Those two guys certainly have it going right now. And the key will be, and Zach Gaugard, one of them is going to try Q school, but is not playing a lot in the summer to be well-rested for Q school. The key will be making sure they don't overextend themselves, because we have that Woltman Slam part of the schedule coming up with the Iowa Open, the Cedar Rapids Open, the Open Championship Tournament in Kansas City, and, of course, the Wisconsin State Open. So a number of State Open-type tournaments in the upper Midwest that a lot of these guys like to play, and the Colorado Open, which has that great $100,000 purse. But boy, what can you say about Peter Webb and Kaylor Steger? You saw Kaylor Steger's potential last year at the State Open, and he is just getting better and better.
He is. And you know, both those guys that you just mentioned, Kaylor and Peter Webb, I believe they both made it through U.S. Open local qualifying earlier in the year. But you're right, Rob. You know, we've seen many times over the years guys who shoot 66 and 67 consistently in mini tour events. And maybe play too much or travel too much, and they don't have their best stuff or their A game when they get to Corn Ferry or PGA Tour qualifying back in the day. So let's hope those guys save some of those good scores for qualifying time, because that's it's all about timing, right, Rob? I mean, we have so many players, we've seen them throughout the years, who are good enough to play on the PGA Tour, but you have to get there. That's the hard part.
Absolutely. So we'll continue to monitor Peter Webb, Kaylor Steger, and the other guys that are trying to make a go of it on the Corn Ferry Tour and some of the other mini tours here as we get to the month of July, which brings us to what's next. What's next, powered by our Instagram page at wis.golf. We kept our FBI specialist, that's finest, bestest Instagrammer, Megan Augustine, busy during the month of June, and we're just getting started. If you want to see what we're up to, where we are, give us a follow on Instagram at wis.golf. Gary, U.S. Amateur Qualifying coming up, the PGA Tour's Midwest Swing, the John Deere Classic, and the 3M Open ahead of the Olympics. The state amateurs, the women are at the Legend at Merrill Hills, and the men are at Westmore Country Club. I'll be back for that one. And then the Wisconsin Junior Girls Championship, a match play event at Hartford Golf Club at the end of the month, the same beginning of the week that the boys have their Wisconsin Junior Masters down at Racine. Out of that bunch, what are you looking most forward to? And then we'll dive a little bit deeper, because I have a question about the John Deere that I'd like to ask you.
Yeah, a couple things, Rob. You know, you mentioned the John Deere and Steve Stricker. You know, Strick's playing in the John Deere this year again. And he's, you know, obviously won it 3 times. He plays great there. He's playing really, really good golf. And one of the things I'm most looking forward to is, we've got a credential for the tournament. I'm hoping to to drive down there on Saturday if Steve's in contention and watch him, you know, maybe have a shot at winning that thing. And the interesting thing about it is John Deere now is giving that exemption again into the British Open. And, you know, should Stricker finish among the top five and be non-exempt players in the British Open, he would get that exemption. Would he take it? Would he fly to England? I don't know. The quarantines over there with COVID are still, they're still really, really strict with what they're doing. But that would be an interesting problem to have, whether or not to fly over to England and Royal St. George's. That's one thing I'm looking at. And then obviously the state amateur at Westmore. Bill Linneman tells me the greens at Westmore, Rob, are going to be as fast or faster than any greens these guys have putted on. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a great month with all the other stuff going on. How about you? You said you had a question.
Well, the question was about Stricker, and that's you played the TPC at Deer Run. You've covered many John Deere Classics down there. Why is that a course that fits him so well? He won it 3 years in a row, as you mentioned. And can it fit him at this age? Is there anything about the course where age might be a factor?
You know, I think he obviously carries a ton of confidence every time he goes into the TPC Deer Run. He loves the fact that he drives there from Madison, from his home. It's, you know, a couple-hour drive and a 3-hour drive. And it feels like a home game for him. You know, there's a lot of people from Wisconsin who go down there and they're wearing their Badger stuff. There's a lot of people from Illinois wearing their Illinois garb, you know, and he's loyal to obviously the University of Illinois and Wisconsin. So he has a huge cheering section down there. He's loved in the community, and it just feels like he's, you know, like he's teeing it up at Cherokee probably with a little bit more on the line. The course fits him because it's not overly long. He loves the greens. He putts so well at that place. And if his putter is hot, Rob, I don't see any reason why he couldn't contend there again.
Well, we'll look forward to that. Again, I'm hoping you get the opportunity to go down there. I'm hoping that he will continue his great play that he showed at the Bridgestone Senior Players. And after a week's rest, you'll be able to tee it up there. Of course, Jerry Kelly and Skip Kendall will be in the U.S. Senior Open next week. I also wanted to talk a little bit about the Wisconsin State Amateur because it's already shaping up to be an epic event. Tony Romo, who was the leader after three rounds, we forgot to mention that at the Ray Fisher State Amateur Tournament last weekend at Janesville Riverside. He's in the field along with his dad, Ramiro, and a lot of guys in the process of qualifying. I love watching the qualifying scores, Gary. Yesterday up at Wausau Country Club, 65-year-old Mike Murphy, now playing out of Minocqua. He said, told me that he just moved up to Timber Ridge with his wife, Lori, the former Badger women's assistant golf coach and former professional player in her own right, is the former Lori Huxhold. And Mike shoots a 400 par 67. He's getting closer and closer to shooting that age, and he's starting to shoot that. He's getting closer at an age when it means something. At 65 years old, Murph, who played at Milwaukee Country Club and admittedly had his lunch handed to him last year, might be back in the field. But young, old, it's already shaping up to be an outstanding field for the state amateur, Gary.
It is, Rob. You know, we talked about the mid-amateurs who've had so much success recently, you know, with Garrett Jones winning the match play and Dustin Schwab winning the Ray Fisher. But when it comes to the state am, the young guys have sort of had a stranglehold on it in recent years, you know, with Thomas Longbella winning, Harrison Knott winning, Matt Tolan winning. It's the field is loaded. I saw that Tony Romo withdrew from U.S. amateur qualifying with back spasms the other day, Rob. So let's hope he gets his back in shape. He shot a 76 in the first round and apparently went to his knees on the seventh tee in his afternoon round and had to be carted off the course. So let's hope that he gets his back in shape because he adds so much to the tournament field just by being Tony Romo and playing in our tournaments. He supports Wisconsin golf, and I hope he shows up at Westmore.
A couple other names to mention. There was a stadium qualifier back at Janesville Riverside on Monday. They always do that the day after the Fisher. Some of the guys that played the 72-hole event will stay over and play there. Badger golfer Ryan Smith out of Georgia qualified with a 700 par 65, shared medalist honors with Jason Janke of Kewaskum. But I believe that was the one where we had two Schmidtkes, Mason, who is a rising junior at Sheboygan North, and Max, who's in the process of transferring from Illinois Springfield over to the University of South Dakota Division I school. Mason got Max 68 to 70 on that one, but both qualify. They'll both be in the field. And then today, on Friday, up at the qualifier at Turtleback in Rice Lake, another fun golf course up in the northwest part of the state. It was Ben Resnick who was able to get through with that one. So, Gary, already a lot going on with the state amateur, and we'll continue to follow the qualifying as we go closer and closer to Westmore.
Yeah, and I'm excited to have you coming back, Rob, to we can tag team the state amateur and double cover it, and it's going to be great to have you doing a lot of the social media stuff and doing a lot of the notes and helping out, and looking forward to that tournament a lot. I love Westmore. It's undergone a renovation, and it's I think every tournament that's been held at Westmore, the winning score has been over par, all the state ams and everything that's been held there. And Bill Lindeman tells me this one will be no different. He seems to think the winning score will be over par. So we'll have to wait and see on that.
My first big tournament I ever covered at the Wisconsin State Journal was the Wisconsin State Amateur at Maple Bluff. But then the month after that, it was the State Open at Westmore, where Steve Stricker, then an amateur, beat fellow amateur Jim Wall, who would go on to be a club pro at Yahara Hills and then out in New York State. And that was when amateurs weren't winning the Wisconsin State Open. And of course, Steve has gone on to win, I believe, five of them or six of them to be part of that group of guys that has never won more than that. And Westmore just produces great championship golfers. So looking forward to that indeed. Gary, we wrap up with the Ryder Cup report. And I tell you, it's you talk about Steve Stricker with the potential to maybe go to the British Open if he finishes T5 or top five at John Deere and is among those that aren't exempt for the British Open. I just hope Steve doesn't start biting off more than he can chew, because as we look ahead to the Ryder Cup report, it's July, my friend, and we're creeping closer and closer to the end of September and the matches at Whistling Straits. And with John Rahm's win at the U.S. Open and all the stuff that's going on, I looked, there's now a 2,000-point gap between 6th and 7th place on the Ryder Cup points standings on the U.S. side. So my question for you is, do you feel that maybe part of Steve's job in terms of the automatics is done with, but, are we looking at now the captain's picks? And how big a deal is that? When do you start to pay attention, if you're Steve Stricker, to really, dialing in, this guy's on the checks this box, this guy checks that box. How do we compare and contrast who's available, let's say, from number 7 through 15, 20, or beyond?
Yeah, it's a really interesting time. I mean, you have a guy like Matthew Wolf who disappeared for a long time and talked pretty openly about the sort of the struggles he's had mentally. And suddenly he's back and playing. It looks like he's playing pretty good golf again. So all of a sudden he's back in the picture, as a guy, with his length and his charisma and his ascending stardom. Certainly, if he continues to play well and has a great British Open, I would think he'd be in the mix. A guy like Will Zalatoris, who before the Masters, hardly anyone ever heard of him, and he's in the mix for a captain's pick, as is Phil Mickelson, who won the PGA Championship. And apparently Steve got on the phone with his assistant captains the day after that PGA and talked about the chance or the likelihood of picking Phil as one of the captain's picks. So there's a lot of things to think about for Steve. And it's going to get very interesting through the British Open to see who, has a good major championship here in a couple of weeks over at Royal St. George's. And maybe Steve will be there to personally watch, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That may be the silver lining. And we'll see on that. Harris English has had a great last couple of weeks, both at the U.S. Open and then at the event last week. And he's up to number 8 now after being 13 last week. And I believe outside the top 20 the week before that. You mentioned Jordan Spieth, Tony Finau, a lot of guys that have shown flashes of absolute brilliance. And then, how do you treat Phil Mickelson? It'll be interesting to see how he performs this week, playing now begrudgingly over at Detroit at the Rocket Mortgage. Somebody from the Detroit News wrote a less than flattering piece reviewing some of the skeletons in Phil's closet that he thought had been tucked away for ever and ever. And he's not exactly thrilled to be there. So I kind of smell a miscut coming here, Gary, but we'll see. Phil's a competitor, and And I don't think he's going to let what people are writing about him impact him inside the ropes. He just won't be back next year in Detroit. And you mentioned Will Zalatoris, who was so hot, the kind of the rising star, as it were, early in the year. But, a lot of guys, Gary Woodland, former U.S. Open champion, Kevin Kisner has had a lot of, great finishes and showed, and again, he's got the kind of putting game that I think can really bode well in a Ryder Cup situation. All those things on the plate of Phil Mickelson. And then on the European side, John Rahm, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, Rory McIlroy, the top four in European points, and then Victor Hovland, Paul Casey, Lee Westwood, Matthew Fitzpatrick, and Victor Perez right now, on the world points. So a few less decisions for Padraig Harrington to make, but still decisions nonetheless with Shane Lowry, in that mix. And then some guys, a guy that I saw, of course, when you're in hotel rooms for the last month, Gary, you have the Golf Channel on quite a bit. And so Guido Miglazzi was on my European Tour TV set before a lot of the stateside stuff last week. And I tell you what, I think a Guido in Sheboygan wouldn't be half bad.
I think Guido's only 23 or 24 years old, Rob. He's just a kid, but so is Zalatoris. Padraig Harrington loves Shane Lowry. Obviously, they're countrymen and friends, and they played a final round together at the PGA Championship on Kiwi Island. And both of them came in the media center just glowing about calling it the best day they had in the golf course in a long, long time. So if Lowry is anywhere close in the points, I have a strong feeling that Padraig is going to pick him. Padraig said, there's a guy who'll go the first tee and won't be afraid of anybody. And then I'm worried, Rob, the Americans are going to have a strong team. But, there's always a European or two, like Thomas Peters a couple of Ryder Cups ago, who was sort of an unknown and I think beat Stricker in singles to secure the winning point, if I'm not mistaken, at Medina. And I'm worried that they might have a guy like that, like a Guido, who could come out of nowhere and just stun the Americans by taking down, one of our bigger players. It's happened before, and I'm worried it could happen again.
Who do we counter with a Guido? We don't have anyone remotely with that good a name. When's the last time we had a good American name on the tour it's been a long time. So we'll see on that. And it's going to be a fun, couple of months in the run up to the tour championship when all this stuff will be taken care of. So we'll see what happens. And, it'll be here in no time. We talked about our busy June, July, August, September, October, it'll be nice to be able to hoist a beer, look back on what'll be a historic year of golf in Wisconsin.
Oh, Rob, we talked about how busy we were in June. We've only just begun. We've got a couple busy months ahead of us, my friend.
Before Gary D'Amato breaks out in, Carpenter's karaoke, we've only just begun. We will call it a podcast. Gary, appreciate the time.
All right, Rob. Thanks. Drive safely now.
I will do that. For Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. This has been Talking.Golf, sponsored by Iron Jock, our most comfortable sponsor yet. Why is that? Iron Jock is advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a proprietary process called silver ion technology. This technology kills 99.9% of the bacteria and fungus caused when you sweat, and it does that for the lifetime of the gear. No other brand offers this world-class antimicrobial protection, comfort, and performance. Join Iron Jock Nation and get yours at ironjock.com. That's ironjoc.com. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.